Here we are this morning. We'll spend some time with God and His Word. And before we go to today's message, would you join with me in prayer? We can't accomplish a darn thing on our own, God, and you know that. We are a people totally and wholly dependent upon you and your Spirit, and your guidance and your leading. Help us to understand the depth of your love, the love that you intend for us to have for one another, and the love that you would desire us to demonstrate to your world. In your name, amen. Been doing this for 20 years. That is pastoral ministry and things. I'm now living in Harrisburg, and I've taken about 4 years off building houses. And no one's ever asked me, why did you take a break? I think the reason no one's ever asked me, not even like my brothers or my moms or that kind of stuff, it's sort of like, I think it's just, some things are just too hard to talk about, I guess. But it's still important to talk about because my experiences in ministry have led me to really believe a couple of things. In so many places, in so many churches, we seem to be really love challenged, both as churches, as leaders. I think what it comes down to, I mean, I was discouraged and I was down and I didn't know why, but I guess it's the Lord showed me this week. And that's a good thing when the Lord shows you, you know, something that needs to be laid out and so it can be brought to healing. And so I guess I'm entrusting that with you this morning. It's not often that pastors really reveal a whole lot. And I know we have to be careful with that. But the upside of this is, even though so many of us in so many places are love challenged, I get the feeling that you understand that the church's mission essentially is love. Love for Jesus, love for each other, and love for those who aren't able to be here today. Like the gentleman that Timothy met, a 70-year-old, some 70-year-old guy at Hy-Vee this morning before he came to church here. Tim was reading his Bible, and the gentleman came up and said, "What are you reading?" You know, and, "Oh, Bible, et cetera, et cetera." And he says, "Well," and Tim said, "I'm going to go to Grandview after that." And he says, "My kids went to Sunday school at Grandview. And, yeah, we attended there." And he said, "You know, it's, you know," he didn't have anything but positive things to say about you. And yet, you know, wouldn't it be awesome if he were here this morning to share in the love and the fellowship and all those kind of things? And so, by way of example, I mean, the love of God, the love of each other, and the love of others are equally important. We can, as you mentioned in the scriptures, we can say we love God, but we must demonstrate that, you know, put our money where our mouth is, kind of thing. And not that that's a work, it's just, you know, we understand and know in our hearts how much we are loved, and so we cannot help but proclaim, to tell, to communicate, to show, to demonstrate love to others. And to me, that's the mission of the church. And if we don't have love, we don't have anything. 1 Corinthians 13, if you've got the best preacher in the world, if you've got the best Bible study in the world, if you've got, and you do have great coffee, by the way, but we don't have love, what does the Bible say? It's just a bunch of noise. And not good noise. Well, if the church's mission is love, I want to go about this by asking three questions this morning, and we'll be done, okay? If the church's mission is love, number one, where does love come from in the first place? I mean, where did it come from in the first place? Secondly, and it was the question was brought up during the children's sermon, and I was so glad. The second question is, what is love? I think the best one I liked was, love is when one spouse gives the other spouse the best piece of chicken. Got that right. Where does love come from, first of all? What is love, secondly? And thirdly, why? Why should we, brothers and sisters, love each other? Why? Number one, where does love come from? Well, that depends a whole lot on who you ask. Pastors get caught up in a lot of things that you folks don't get caught up in. I think about a lot of stuff that you don't think about, and I'm not saying that's a good thing. It's kind of like I just get lost in outer space sometimes, you know, where you're grounded, you know. But it seems to me that love comes from how you respond to where love comes from depends where you're coming from. To the world and those around us, and maybe those that aren't convinced that there even is a God, or like a secular person who isn't even sure or is agnostic about God, I mean, if you were to ask them, where does love come from? And if they were really honest, they would say, I don't know. Well, that's a good question. And even for those who do believe in God, broadly speaking, it doesn't necessarily follow that they really understand that God is a God of love. I think in a Muslim community in particular, there seems to be a real fear and a fear of retribution and those kind of things, like God is a righteous, holy God. But I don't know if they would say God at the end of the day, at the bottom line, is a God of love. That's who God is. But when asked, you and I, okay? When asked, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, when asked, where does love come from, we have a great deal of confidence and can say with John, God is love. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from, guess where? God. Anyone who is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love God does not know God, for God is love. In the New Testament, I already referenced 1 Corinthians 13. Did any of you have a wedding ceremony in which that was read or a part of the... I mean, that's a common passage. And so that's New Testament teaching. And it kind of ends with kind of the bottom line of saying, you know, love, hope, and faith. And the greatest of these is love. You know, that's the greatest. And we all know John 3:16. Run that through your mind. I assume most of us do. I can't assume. Man, when I was 10 years old or 15, I didn't know John 3:16. But it's a foundational passage for who Jesus is. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Where does love come from? It comes from above. And it rains down upon us. What is love? Well, that's a good question. Excellent question. I would love to go back to the the kids' illustrations, I bet there's some really, really good ones in there. Well, I won't do that this morning, but I will turn us toward someone who walked and lived and was really, really close to Jesus, our Lord. And his name is John, the writer of this text. This comes from 1 John. And John had experienced being with our Lord, being with him when he was baptized, and his father said, "This is my son whom I'm well pleased." He was with Jesus through good and through bad, and ultimately he was the lone apostle and friend who stood at the foot of the cross with Jesus' mom while his friend bled out and died. And he was there when Jesus rose in the empty tomb. I just love it in John when this guy is explaining what happens to him at Easter. He hears that Jesus, the grave is empty. Jesus isn't there, and so he runs along with Peter. You remember that Easter story? And he looks in, and he sees the grave is empty, and he sees the grave clothes laying there, and he believes. John was the one, we are told, whom Jesus loved. So John's answer to what is love is kind of interesting, given all that background. John says in 1 John, and I'm chapter 4, verse 9, John says, God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and his only Son into the world that we might have eternal life through him. And this slays me right here, verse 10. This is real love. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Foundational to the Christian faith is love, and not only any kind of love, but sacrificial love. The kind of love that puts the person who is doing the loving action, puts themselves behind the other person and puts the other person in ahead of them, and is willing to sacrifice, in Jesus' case, even his life for those he loves. Sacrificial love. I think moms understand this in the first 2 or 3 weeks. Well, I don't know, maybe not the first two or three weeks. I think I guess I'll say it now. I thought Tim was the perfect baby for the first 2 weeks. And then, I don't know, all of a sudden, he became more lively at 2 o'clock in the morning. And then at 3 and 4. And it was his mother, not I, who sacrificed and drug herself out of bed, stubbing her toe on the bedpost occasionally, and attending to the ones she loves, putting others first. And before I move on, what is love? I'm going to hit this really quickly, but it's a really interesting thought, and that is this. Love isn't love. Love is not love if I love you, and I do, and you don't love me. You see? I mean, and God is saying, I love you. I love you. But it's short-circuited. Unless you say you love me, then we can't have that loving connection and bond. By way of example, Donna and I, when we first dated, I was in college, And it was like, the Earth's crust had just cooled 10 years prior. So, you know, it was a time ago. It just occurs to me that you're not that old. I am. I really liked dating Donna. She was fun. And man, we liked going fishing. I'd never met a girl that liked to go fishing, and I had a pickup truck, and she liked to sit in the middle of the pickup truck and shift into third gear for me, and I liked that a lot. And as time went on, I was overjoyed and thrilled about the whole thing, and I just enjoyed being around her. And then one day, I became uncomfortable because a question was posed. How do you feel about me? I'm a guy, okay, so I'm clueless. Well, I take you to dinner, we have pizza and go to movies. We go fishing together. And the tears start coming down her face. And Mark goes, "What did I do wrong? What did I say wrong? I know how I feel about you. How do you feel about me?" Donna knew, as most of you gals know, that love isn't love. If it's just a one-way thing, that Jesus is saying, "I know how I feel about you. I know how I feel about you. I know how my Father feels about you. But what I don't know is how you feel about me. I died for you. I laid down my life for you. How can you demonstrate love to Jesus?" John makes it pretty clear. Believe. Believe that he is who he said he was. Believe that you are the apple of his eye. Believe that he loves you. Accept that. Swim in it. Bathe in it. Shower in it. That shower down of you know, realize how much he loves you. Where does love come from? We talked about that. What is love? We talked about that. And then we're going to talk very briefly about why we should love one another. Do we love one another as a church body because it's just so doggone easy to do? You're just so lovable. I mean, you know, sometimes, and I think we do get a lot of enjoyment out of each other, but sometimes love is hard work. Because we are to love each other just the way that Jesus loved us. And so in each and every circumstance and interaction we have as a church, it's like, I'm going to put my needs on the table, and I'm going to be more concerned about your needs than mine. And I don't know about you, but that's a good definition of love. And when I wake up in the morning, I've got a confession to make. You guys' stuff and worries and hurts, they aren't the first thing on my mind. You know whose are? Mine. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you don't experience that, but it's like, man, I really do love myself a lot. I worry about myself, and I worry about this and this and the other thing and how it affects me. And it's like, Jesus says, that's not the way. Willingness to lay down your life for others. And I'm sure you've demonstrated that as a church to each other over the years. I get the sense that you have. Do you love one another? Yeah, of course. Of course you do. Why should we? Why should we love one another, church? I'll just simply read this to you and you pick up on what John says. And these words that John speaks, I'm floored by John, the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, and Revelation, and I'm floored because it's a passive voice. He's never saying, "I say this," or "I say that," or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's a passive voice, and it's almost as if Jesus is speaking through him, you know. And we know that the Scriptures, all of them, are the Word, and the Word is God, and the Word is Jesus, right? So true. So hear these words, verse 11 and following. Dear friends, that is, dear church, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Consider a couple of things. If we love each other, God lives in us? I mean, I got to just stop here and say, man, if you're not with me right now, come back. I mean, if you're wondering what for lunch at this time, come back. I had just said something amazing. And it applies to you, and it applies to me. And what is that amazing thing? If you are in Jesus Christ, he is in you. Literally. Through his Spirit. I mean, Jesus isn't some historical figure from 2,000 years ago that we like to talk about in the past tense and say, well, we can learn a lot of lovely things. That's cool. You guys have been able to watch that. I've been able to watch. You know, does God live in you when those slides come up? I think we got some slides coming up. Go ahead. Oh, it'll be after the sermon. Okay. Consider this. The one in whom you have your arm around, whom you are touching, the one behind you or in front of you, each and every one of you have the very literal presence of Jesus inside of you. He dwells in you if you are a Christian. And if you're not, you don't have that. And secondly, why should we love each other? Because when we love each other, God not only lives in us, but his love, now listen to this, this is crazy too. His love is brought, that is God's love, Jesus' love is brought to full expression. Now I don't know about you, but you know, God in full expression, in full power, in full presence, that's a big deal. Would it be that when people come through this door, they would walk in here sensing, feeling, and knowing that the Spirit of God is in this place, and Jesus is present here, and he is because he's here, he's among us, and he's working through us. Now, if that doesn't get you all fired up, I don't, you know. And I'm not making this stuff up. I mean, I'm just telling you what it says. God is love. Stand as I say these words in closing. God is love. And all who live in love live in God. And God lives in you. That is a perfect love. And he is the Lord of love. Amen.